May the 25th, 2023. This program is brought to you by New Africa Excellent Enterprise, LLC, Imam Dr. Miraj Speaks, Blog Talk Radio, where we teach Quranic Arabic, Islamic studies, and comparative religion, not just religion. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. With Allah's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. As-salamu alaykum, which means peace be on you. I'm your host for this evening, Ilahi Bey. My topic this evening is Al-Islam, the Tafsir of Imam Waruf Deen Muhammad, commentary of the Holy Quran. If you have missed any of the talks, go online to www.blocktalkradio.drmirajspeaks.com and you'll be able to listen to the ones that you have missed. Once again, we will open with a short dua, and then we will continue where we left off yesterday. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulihu kareem Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam mubarak. Conversion to Islam was by good conduct. Many nations became Muslim not because someone preached to them, but because they observed the life of good Muslims in their nation and decided that they wanted to be Muslim. That happened in much of Africa. The Africans saw the life of the Muslim, and they were attracted to that life. Certainly there was preachers, but most of the conversion came by the excellent example of Islamic life that Muslims lived. Out of necessity, the Muslim traded and visited with Africans, and many of them came to introduce the religion. The religion grew in Africa because of the good example that Muslims showed to all people by living the excellence of Islamic life. And this is the way we want to be. We want to live the Islamic life so that it may be an influence on others who observe how we live. Indonesia, a country that has the biggest Muslim population, was converted in the same way. Indonesia had over 100 million Muslims, and nobody came in there and conquered them with weapons. Nobody preached them into the religion with a missionary movement to convert them. Indonesia became the Muslim, became Muslim because it dealt with Muslim traders and Muslim business people. They were converted by the lifestyle of the good Muslim. These are the facts that everyone should know, especially the Muslim. For centuries, there has been an ugly war of false propaganda against the religion of Al-Islam, and we want to correct this incorrect view by our example and lifestyle. It is not good for an imam to come out on Friday, Juma, and Saturday with his khutbah lecture, and then go back, and the people not see him anymore until the next Friday. This is especially so if he is not working on a job, or if he does not have a business to run. Prophet Muhammad didn't regard those who only devoted themselves to ritualistic and spiritual devotion with the same regard as those who were devoted spiritually, as well as working to help build the foundation of the community. Prophet Muhammad was a man who did both. Allah tells Prophet Muhammad, prayers and peace be upon him, in the Quran, rise up and warn. And in another place he says, stand to pray by night, but not all night, half of it or a little less. Truly, the rising by night is more potent for governing the soul and more suitable for framing the words. True, there is by day prolonged occupations with ordinary duties. We learn from this very verse that the God is telling the prophet, prayers and peace be upon him, not to stand, not to pardon me, not to spend so much time in prayer at night, that he would be too tired to carry out his duties to the community during the day. Prophet Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, had no off days. He was busy every day. There are some Muslims who take Sunday as a day of rest. Sunday is no rest day. Sunday is a work day. Muslims have no rest day, not even Friday. God tells us that when we hear the call to prayer on Friday, leave off business and respond to the call to prayers. And when the prayer is over, go out many different ways back into productive work, and then essentially knocks on the conscience. So Muslim community should be a dynamic community, rising up to every challenge. Our call to prayer, the Adhan, essentially means that which knocks on the conscience. It is designed or formed to get our answers, to get our awareness, to get our attention. We give the call 5 times daily to make the Muslims aware of their concerns. And our most important concern is to be worshipers of God, to respond to him as he ordered us. On Friday, when the call to prayer is made, we are told by God to leave off the worldly and business concerns and respond to him in the Jummah, congregational prayers. So when the prayer is concluded, we are to return to those things concerned with building and sustaining the life of the society. If we understand this religion, we are in a good situation, those who profess to be Muslim but don't understand their religion cannot be in a good situation. Muslims must understand what is fundamentally and essentially their religion. They must understand that the majority concerns and then make an effort to assist and exert themselves to carry out the obligation of Muslims in this religion and in their homes and to their neighborhood. Neighborly concerns. Prophet Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, said, he is not one of us who goes to sleep at night knowing that his next door neighbor is hungry. This does not mean that you have to feed your neighbor. It means that you will be condemned if you can go to sleep and it doesn't bother you that your next door neighbor is hungry. Many times it may bother us, but we are not in a position to do anything about it. But we do have to register concern for our neighbor if we are going to be followers of Prophet Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him. So we must never forget that the Prophet, prayers and the peace be upon him, is a witness regarding us, and we are a witness regarding the people, all people. We cannot be a witness against of this earth if we do not conform to the model of excellence that God has revealed for us. We can only witness when we are the best examples. Only then that we can be a witness for a people. I cannot recognize the good life of someone else if I am not associated with what is good. The more I am committed to standing for good and to promote good, the better witness I am for others who are doing good. As Muslims, we must lead the way in establishing what is good and clean, and we must prohibit what is wrong. Islam, nature of the universe, is Muslim. Tells us in the Holy Quran, it is he who has named you Muslim, both before and in this revelation. We should understand that all the prophets of God were Muslims. This includes Adam, the first man, who called our father. We should also understand that the religion of Al-Islam built upon the excellence that God has given every man And just as the nature of all the prophets were Muslims, so is the nature of everyone in our religion. But what is Muslim? Muslim means one who submits himself to the will of God, which is found in the nature of all things. Muslim is the major discipline for maintaining and advancing human life. It is the very nature of the Muslim to seek peace. God has given every creature its nature, and that nature is Muslim. You might say, do you mean the nature of a snake is Muslim? Yes, a snake wants peace. We also believe that the nature of the celestial body, the earth, the sun, the moon, the many stars, and other planets is Muslim. Science tells us that if there is confusion or disorder in the universe, there is a force that brings about order and peace again. This is in itself tells us that the nature of the universe is Muslim. Thus, Al-Islam is the religion after the very nature in which God created man. All religious people don't see God in the same way, but if they are sincere in their belief, God will help them. Prophet Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, said, every child is born a Muslim, but it is the circumstances in which he is born that makes him Jew, Christian, or other. God says that he has established man on the order of the pattern found in the universe. He formed man to that pattern, and that is the pattern of behavior we call Islamic behavior. It should be clear to the Muslim that when Al-Islam offers in terms of behavior and the kind of behavior God creatures should have, Al-Islam offers its adherent the kind of future God creatures should look for in this life and in the hereafter. The Muslim life is not a life of conflict. It is a life of unity. The Muslim doesn't see spiritual life in any kind of conflict with community life, political life, or economic life, but because man is an emotional, moral, and spiritual creature, spiritual life is a necessary condition for him if he is to make real progress in the field of material reality. The essential life for man, if he is to make real progress on this earth, the spiritual life, and this life begins with a belief in our hearts and our minds and in our souls that we are accountable to one God who is superior, perfect, absolute, and eternal. All religious people don't see God in the same way, but if they are sincere and their belief, God will help them. La ilaha will bring a man out of hell. And we believe that if they are sincere, God will one day bless them to see clearly. Prophet Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, has said that as long as you hold on to the one God, eventually that belief will deliver you even though you are in hell. Human nature, the base that supports everything else. Nature appreciates it for its whole function and role. Do not blame it for deviation. The natural content of man is excellent. God says that he has made man in the most excellent mold or form. Muslims reject the idea that human nature is gross matter, a situation for sin. We see the human nature as the base that supports everything else. Nature should be appreciated for its whole function and role and should not be blamed for deviation. Man has a very special duty, nature, that is human. He is not only Muslim, but he is also human. He is man. If someone displays behavior that is characteristic of a snake, that person is out of their true nature because their specific nature form is man. And the same applies to any other creature. If we imitate any other creature in our behavior, then we are stepping out of our natural form. And no one should say that they're bad just because some man acts like a dog. They should say that the nature is good, but some men are confused, acting outside of their true nature. If a dog acts like a dog in nature, we don't say that if the dog is bad, nor do we say that nature is bad, because we expect a dog to act in the form of a dog. But if man acts like a dog, there are some ignorant scientists who say nature is bad. A scientist should be the last one to make such a statement. He should understand the differences. So nature should be appreciated for its whole function and role and should not be blamed for deviation. Al-Islam brings peace to our hearts and to our souls. It reconciles the spiritual and the worldly life within us. Nature is not bad. It is excellent because of man's free will, and free will copy form and that are not his own. If he is denied kind of learning environment, God has given us a great freedom, but it is also a great risk if it puts the moral burden on society to see that the circumstances are good for the evolution of the creatures that God has made. The religion of Al-Islam brings peace to our heart and to our soul. It reconciles the spiritual and the worldly life within us. It brings unity so that we are not secular in one part of our soul and spiritual in another part, causing war within our own soul against ourselves. Nature is excellent. Revelation comes and man finds his purpose. Some people run worldly reality to build a spiritual reality. God tells us in the Holy Quran, God who has set down the book in truth and the balance by which to weigh conduct, hell. Some people run from the worldly reality of their form to build a spiritual reality, and some run from the spiritual reality of their form to build the worldly or material reality. Such people are in trouble, but the Muslim should be united. His life should be reconciled. He should be at peace with himself, and most of all, at peace with his nature, though nature is excellent. It is the beginning of place if we expect our lives to grow or develop. It is not enough. It is not until revelation comes that man really finds his purpose on this earth. His purpose is the universe and his true satisfaction in his heart and soul. If anyone doubts that nature is bad based on establishing excellence for man in society, and Prophet Muhammad, praise and the peace be upon him. Prophet Muhammad, a life of excellence. You have in the Messenger of God a beautiful pattern of conduct for any whose hope is in God and in the final day. When we study the life of Prophet Muhammad, praise and the peace be upon him, we find that he was excellent in his nature even before he was given the mission of prophecy and revelation. He was admired and trusted by his countrymen. Even before God missioned him, they called him the honest one, the trustworthy one. Translated El Amin in Arabic, people saw something in him that made them feel that whatever he would say would be for the good of all that everyone could accept. Since We knew that Prophet Muhammad's prayers and the peace be upon him was already established in the excellence of nature before he received revelation that speaks for the religion, being after the very nature in which God created man, Deen al-Fitra. If anyone doubts that nature is a good base for establishing excellence for man in society, then they should look at Prophet Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him. In him we see that he was trustworthy, morally upright. He refused to worship more than one God, even though all of his countrymen were bowing down to idols. Quran made Muhammad a new man, a leader for his people. Even though Prophet Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, was excellent and his nature admired by his countrymen and trusted by everybody, still he was unhappy. In his moments of heaviness of heart, he would go to the cave of Hidra at the top of the mount called Juba al-Nur, Mountain of Delight, which is on the outskirts of the city of Mecca. There is opening of the cave where he sat and think on the condition of his people, the condition of the world, and in his soul he was crying out to God. And it was true, it was there that God responded to him and gave him the first revelation of Quran. It was with revelation that Prophet Muhammad became the messenger of God, a new man, a leader for his people and for all people. Revelation enabled him to lead his people out of darkness and ignorance and to moral excellence, knowledge and sciences, ethnical life, strong community life, economic principles, political principles, etc. A world was formed, and it became the most dynamic society in the world at that time. Even today, scientists and historians marvel who study what he took place during his life and mission. They admit that no other person has been able to accomplish so much in such a short span of time. He turned his people around from an idolater and scattered, disunited, warring people of small factions of gangs and tribes into one united community under God. To tell people that their nature is bad hinders and burden them unnecessarily. Islam encourages us to embrace nature excellence. Let us understand the excellence of nature. Let us also understand that God rewards us for obeying the excellence of our nature. Prophet Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, was rewarded to be the model for all men because he obeyed the excellence of his nature. In this society, it is very important for Muslims to know that God approves of human nature. There is no ritual or exercises in our religion to train, strengthen, or prepare us to disengage our life from our nature. On the contrary, there are influences, teaching, etc., to encourage us to embrace, to accept, and to appreciate, and to understand that our nature is excellent. Previous deviation from man, dreaming outside of nature. It is the unnatural condition in the mind of man that has led to the extreme kinds of deviation we have in the behavior of man. If you must die, then die to your own foolishness and not to the nature in which God created you. If someone tells you that your nature is bad, you should ask, if I am bad by nature, what is the use of me trying to be good? It is natural for people to want to be themselves. God made us that way. If you give somebody an ideology, a philosophy, or a theology that says to them that their nature is bad, then you are telling them if you want to be good, you will never be yourself. Actually, you are telling them that they have to go outside of the nature in which God created them if they are to be good. It is the unnatural condition in the mind of man that has led to the extreme kinds of deviation we have in the behavior of man on this earth. God did not create the situation for man to go to the extreme that he's going in, being a deviant, a pervert, or some kind of weird creature. God did not create a situation for extreme behavior in the deviant line of the deviant direction. It was man experimenting, dreaming, and acting outside of the voice. If he has good nature and brought him to such a conclusion, which brought about the introduction of the false ideas that says man must free himself from his nature. Teachings say that man must first die to his own nature. The truth is that if you must die, then die to your own foolishness and not to the nature in which God created you. And once that happens, then you can live in the truth. Reason and concern, the two important parts of human life. Noah's flood says, concern the flood life out of without reason. The Quran, Surah 69, Ayat 11, Noah's flood. Genesis 6:11, Noah's flood. Story of Noah in the Bible, also the Quran, the sacred book of the Muslims, and human beings, is a creation of reason and a creature of concern. These are the two important parts of human life. We can think, reason, question, examine, analyze things, and look for how to improve things by the explanation of things, but we also are creatures of concern. Sometimes we give our life to concerns so much and not enough to reason. And to those concerns flood the life out, and the whole society begins to be supported by concerns and not by reason or good sense. With Noah's flood, we have a flood going on now. The Quran, Surah 69, Ayat 13-18, one blast resurrection, dead resurrection with one blast. With a symbolic of the one blast that will stand the dead up. So we have many rak'ahs or many sections of prayers, but there is a prayer that we say in the month of Ramadan, and it is finished with one rak'ah, only one section. We say two sections, and we sit down, and we stand up for a third section, and we pray one rak'ah, and we finish it. Scripture says that the dead will be resurrected and they will be awakened with three blasts. But God says there is going to come a time when the only one blast will stand the dead up. And that is what I'm giving you now, the one blast that will stand the dead up. The Quran, Surah 69, Ayat 13-18, one blast resurrection. Dead resurrection with one blast. With a symbolic of the one blast that will stand the dead up. So we have many rak'ahs in prayers. We have many sections of prayers. But there is a prayer that we say in the month of Ramadan, and it is finished with the one rak'ah, only the one section finishes it. We say two sections and we sit down. We stand up for the third section, and we pray the one rak'ah and we finish it. Scripture says that the dead will be resurrected and they will be awakened with three blasts, but God says there is going to come a time when only the one blast will stand the dead up, and that is what I'm giving you now, the one blast that will stand the dead up. All you have to do is keep your interest focused, stay clear, keep that in mind, and never forget any time or any day that you are living, never forget that your first interest is supposed to be your maker, who created you and everything. Wake up with it and go to bed with it. And I guarantee you that you will not need any more rakahs to keep you standing. I'm not telling you to change the prayer. God obligates us with revelation. Our book is our guidance. But I'm telling you that will wake us up. The Quran, Surah 69, Ayah 17, 8, their throne. The Quran, Surah 39, 75, and 40 and 7, hold up throne, means the equal role of God. They support it without question, without allowing their own thoughts to come into the picture. Wings are used to lift up every time we make sajda. The believers make ascension. Two wings, symbolic of the two rakahs, fajr. Three wings, symbolic of the three rakahs, maghrib. Four wings represent, upon me, four wings, symbolic of the four rakahs, surah, asr, and isha. The Quran, Surah 69, Ayah 17, 8, earth holds up. Two hands, knees. Toes, forehead, noise equals eight. Nose equals eight. So when you make the four rakahs, you make eight sajdas, meaning that we want the throne of ours to be successful too. So when you make surah, asa, isha, you make four rakahs with eight sajdas. What is the throne? It means that the rule man wants to preserve the rule that he has over the family, town, nation. So if you want to preserve the rule, then break the day up for times of prayer. If you want to hold up the throne, interrupt that business. Look how successful the Muslims were under the Prophet. They became the greatest society on earth. They led other societies back to civilization. Asa Layla to Qadir, clock of God in man. The Quran, Surah 70, Ayat 4, one day with God is like 50,000 years. The Quran, Surah 22, Ayat 48, one day with God is as 1,000 years. The Quran, Surah 79, Ayat 42, when is the hour time? Time salat. When is the hour time? Allah says, Subhanahu wa ta'ala, wait until he come with his clock. And what is the clock? It is a timepiece. There are two realities referring to here in that saying. In the Quran, one reality is the reality that all of us know, and we know timepiece in the world of man. The watch I'm wearing now, the clock, the alarm clock, I carry with me sometimes on my trip, and the clock on my wall at home. All of these timepieces are the clocks of time, place of man. But God says, wait until he comes with his piece, with his timepiece, with his sheep, su'ad. I know you know what shalat means, because I want the class, and we have to learn she has in the same class. God doesn't use foreign terms. He has to explain it to that this means a watch, clock, something that keeps time. He uses the most common language for timepieces in the Arabic language is duat, and that is the one he uses. Wait until God comes with his si'ad. This is in scripture that came before, not just in our scripture. They let you know right now where we are aiming at. The direction now is to show us the world as affected by man and to show us the world as planned by God. So the movement of the natural forces is the clock of God, and the man-made orchestrated forces is the clock of man. But both have movement. Both have an objective, a destiny, an end, and an aim. And both are movements, and there is no time without movement. Time has referred to movement, even for a thing that is dead. When you speak of the time, for it you are talking about movement, how it has been affected by years, how it has deteriorated, or how it has been affected during a period of time, how corrosion has affected, so you can measure it, say, in a tree, how many rings are formed, you can measure it, say. Isn't it wonderful how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made a tree so that if you cut it, you can see its age right there as though he wrote it in the letter, in numbers. Just count the rings. Every spring, a new ring starts. Focus of nature, bringing in the world God wants. These are the two timepieces, and what is more important is not to know about the two timepieces. The important thing to know is that God is not depending upon the world and its leaders to bring in the world that he wants for people. Nature forces are created to usher in the world that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants for all people. Isn't it a wonder of God? The loving, generous, and merciful God to give man an invitation to work for him, be his servant, to bring in his world. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala already created the forces of nature that are going to bring in his world. But he wants to share the great celebration. Trees, rocks, stones, dogs, cats, lions, and elephants, they can't come to the party. They don't have the consciousness to come to the party. So God wants creation to come to the party and join him in the great celebration of the victory to come. Isn't it wonderful? He created man and jinn to share in the celebration. If they would only join the effort, then they will be welcome to the party. Only his works are welcome. Praise be to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This program is brought to you by New Africa Excellent Enterprise, LLC, Imam Dr. Miraj Speaks Block Talk Radio. Because those who are not his workers, they are turned off and they are turned only on to temporary things, expedient enjoyment, that comes in and goes out and sees no more things. So this is a great day we are living in. God's clock and the world's clock, or God's timepiece and the world's timepiece. Please indicate that the world's timepiece is explained by man's plan based upon his recognition of his works, but not the work of God. The clock, the timepiece of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is based upon or explained upon our recognition of the order of the natural universe, how God has made this universe to bear or to operate upon his will and his plan for mankind. We really need to write volumes on science or scientific theories. This also includes our perception of the life and the nature of the universe itself. Some of you are getting this, but it is too much for a lot of you. It is easy if you don't strain your mind too much. I saw a guy couldn't get his car started. He was just pressing on the accelerator. He flooded the thing out. Another man came and took the top off of the carburetor, and he let some air get in there, and he went and started it up. And he's ready to go. Don't strain too hard. You will damage the equipment. You are using, praise be to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So these are the two realities. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Man's time is with God, is one day as compared to God, is like 1,000 years of man's time. One day in God's time is like 1,000 years in man's time. Man is looking at a one-day clock that is 24 hours, and on God's clock, a whole 1,000 years within that one day. So reasoning in that body of language, we would say then that in 100 or 1,000 years, pardon me, has to take rest, because in 24 hours, he takes a rest every night. So in 1,000 years, man is going to active part of the time, and he is going to be resting part of that time. The Quran descended in the night and the time. Its duration coming down to man is at 50,000 years, not 1,000 years, 50,000 years. Now I can't keep you with me, so I'm not going to try to take you down that road. I'm just going to tell you what it is at the end of that road, the exact sciences. The Quran's purpose is to bring man to the exact sciences. 50,000 years relates to America's 50 states. So the purpose of the revelation of the Quran was to bring within reach or put in his hand that which he would need to arrive at the exact science, and that is exactly what happened. No accident, or it is not without purpose that these United States begin with 13 colonies, and then the United States came into being, and those colonies came under the different political orders, and they grew to be 48 states and stayed with that way for a long time. And they found it necessary so that their own growth as a nation communicated the best of those of vision and eyes to see. They changed from 48 to 50 states. And aren't we a scientific nation now? We have many references to the two movements, the movement of man in his own thinking, in his own pride, and the movement of the natural world, forces, and then there is a third movement, the movement God plans, the word of God, revelation. God knows that the natural forces were created to bring us to him eventually. We are going to come to him. He doesn't have to worry about that. That is why when you die, they say, Inna illahi, inna illahi, wa inna illahi raja'un. Innaha illahi, wa inna illahi raja'un. Translated, surely to Allah we belong, to him and to him we are returning. You're finished. If you have gone astray, you are not going to stray anymore. So you are dead now, and you are not going anywhere on your own. You have joined the natural system that Allah has created to obey his will. Isn't this wonderful? This is so wonderful to be seen consciously in the new reality. I wouldn't give anything for this. This is the light, the Quran. 50,005 senses. The Quran, Surah 70, Ayat 40, a day as 50,000 years. So Laylatul Qadra is not talking about what has manifest or manifested. It is talking about what can manifest. So it's pronounced Laylatul Qadra, not Qadira. So it is the capacity of the capacity potential. The capacity is seen in the Quran. The capacity is seen in Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him. The capacity is seen in established Ummah. So the potential for that capacity is coming down. in the month of Ramadan. It is just starting, but it is going to manifest Muhammad, praise and the peace be upon him. He had to receive it so he could be born. It is going to manifest Muhammad, praise and the peace be upon him, is going to manifest the established Ummah, and it is coming down as 50,000 years. So the day as 50,000 years is community enlightenment based upon the five senses. So the Islamic community enlightenment based upon the five senses of man is going to have to reach Muhammad, praise and the peace be upon him, as though it takes 50,000 years. It is much longer than that. It should say 50,000 light years. The new language now in this world, it should say 50,000 light years. It is coming from the essence of creation, the essence of the universe, before even the universe had come to its capacity. It was nothing but potential. It is coming from that distance to reach Muhammad, praise and the peace be upon him, in his five senses. His brain is just not capable of carrying this and trust it to his heart. And in time, it will communicate from soul to his brain, and they will get it as a slow rain. 1,000 years therein descends the angels, and the Holy Spirit, the angels are not on their own. The Holy Spirit is not on its own. With the permission of their Lord from every order and command, not one command up here and the command down there. Peace, shalom, because this is Kesherun min asti sira. Kesherun min asti sahira. Here, translated, it is better than 1,000 years. How can they be but peace when the operator of love and peace is in the whole working? It is the center of the whole working. Love and peace. This is the night of power, and I was not with them at it. Think. They are going to have it again tonight or last night. It was the 27th. Know that you can have it on the 29th or on any odd night. The 27th was last night. I'm pretty sure the 27th was last night, not the 29th. It was the 29th. The next day is Eid. Allah time light bulb ideas. The Quran Surah 7, the ayat for Allah day as 50,000 years. The Quran Surah 87, ayat 9, think it is beneficial. 2 Peter 3:8, day with God is as 1,000 years. Light years with God is time it takes to materialize an idea. The expression light years was introduced by the science of the stars, the body in the sky. They know the scripture when God says 1,000 years of your time may be like 1 year with God. So when they talk about distance in miles, after a while, this perception of time measurement becomes so burdensome when you're talking about distance of planets and galaxies from one another. To make it easy, they say light years. But where do they get that language from, light years? Light is also wisdom and knowledge. So to understand it outside of this, science borrowed it from the religious language. In fact, they borrowed most of what they had from religious language. Expression light years, it helps us understand how to see a year with God in comparison with a year with man. Man based his time measurement on movement of physical things, objects, right? So the sun is a physical object and it starts in the morning, draws and goes and sets, and that is a certain amount of time, and when it comes back and shows again, it is 1 day, 24 hours, roughly. So this is how man measures time, and we survived one winter, and now we are ready for spring and good time and works. So the comfortable temperatures are going to end, and we will start winter all over again, right? So this is a year, right? But look what has happened. These are physical pictures of changes in the man's life, right? But what is about an idea? How long will it take it to materialize to bring about the change which that idea has potency to do? So this is a light year with God. Rainbow bends, but you see light going straight. It is a explaining how ideas work. One idea lights up the area for you to see other ideas. It depends upon on how clear the idea is. If it is too obscure, it is not going to give you much light. It is not going to show you too many things. But the more transparent it is, the better. But it is this instinct. You are not talking about light. People think light is white. No, a heated up piece of substance will turn white. Certain substances won't even burn white. Just particular substances burn and heat up white. But light is not white. If it was white, you could not see. Pure light is transparent. And another thing that is good to observe about light that you say, and I think Einstein is responsible for this, the whole universe bends and even light bends because matter, the whole universe bends. Everything bends. But when you see clouds separated and permit small openings after darkness and a heavy rain, you see the color bending. There's the rainbow. But you see light going straight. Light does not bend. It goes straight. Have you ever seen the beams coming down perfectly straight? They are not bent. They don't move. The Quran Surah 71, Ayah 13, what the matter with them? They not respond to God. So the Lord is inside me as well as the will of God. I have the Spirit of God in me, but also God's will is in everything he created. So God's will is in me too, and God's will is what eventually overcomes my will, so that my Lord is in me. That's the will of God in me, and there is also my own desires in me to be better. There is my desire in me to achieve more in goodness and righteousness and justice, so that movement in me is also the movement brought me back to my Lord. So my Lord is evolving me, isn't he? My Lord is evolving me, and he is in me as his will. So you are not asked to believe in a God that is not really part of your reality. So that's why the question is asked, what is wrong with you that you don't want to believe in your Lord? We are not asking you to believe in something that is not a part of your own reality. To believe in something that is a part of your reality, your own life forces and supported by this Lord, your own life forces, guided by the Lord. Your excellence is the will of the Lord, and your excellence is the works of the Lord. So how come you don't believe in the Lord when he's working right inside of you? God is in us. The will of God is in us. The Lord, our God, Lord is in us, in his will and plan. For us, the Lord, the function of God as Lord functions in the human being. That is a function in the human being and in everything that he has created and evolved. But in us, more so in us, more so because that reality can drawn in our intellect as it has already done. It has dawned in the intellect of the great prophets and in us. Now, it has dawned in the intellect, this reality, this real perception of God also in my workings, and in my working of my own creation, there is the workings of God. And I can see him in the role of Lord in my perception of my own evolution, of my own progress as a human being, trying to be better all the time. The Quran, Surah 71, Ayah 17, man created like a plant. God says he has created the human being like a plant. Let's look at a plant. This knowledge that some of you think lightly, take lightly, we have a term in this society, knowledge already organic. It has one meaning for you and another meaning that you don't get. One meaning, you know it is from plant life, natural life. But organic means for them what I'm going to explain from that which is in the Quran. They got it from the Quran and they have it in their society. If you get a big dictionary, you will find the meaning organic. The particular interest for the term organic is not the ordinary dictionary. One seed, God says he created us like a plant. It began with a seed, doesn't it? And the seed is something that seems dead, isn't it? So the seed appears to be dead. You don't take a fresh seed and plant it, dry it out, because it becomes like seed. Then you plant it, right? So you plant the seed in the right environment, the elements of the earth, moisture, the right environment causes the seed to swell. It's the moisture that causes it to swell. And it swells, and it is fed from the environment that it is put in, and then first form a shoot, and it comes up. But at the same time, its anchors or roots going down. The thing is anchoring itself in the earth and shooting out at the same time. So it's not shooting up without being anchored. It's not building up with no base or no security like a lot of you who go in these businesses overnight and is gone. No roots, not roots. No anchor, no security. Second, root, stem. The plant comes up from the root, and then the stem, and then the branch. If it is a flower, then it will bud and have a flower. And then at this stage, when it flowers, it is able to respond itself. Is that right? Pardon me. Reproduce itself, not respond. It is able to reproduce itself. Is that right? How beautiful that it is. Now look at the human being. And let's quickly compare with Symbol. The human being is ordered to go and shed, and he should have human spirituality. If you are dry of human spirituality, you have no human sentiments. You are like a seed that is not getting moisture, and you stay dead. But if the human sentiment is allowed to form and touch that seed, the seed is like the human's heart. You see, water is soft like human nature. If we allow our heart to get hold to spiritual teaching, some sentiment, teaching, that inspires, encourages the human goodness in the human being, purity, moral cleanliness. You will grow because of the water softness. Water is soft. Water is not hard. If you just touch it, it quivers to bring out the true human essence of the person. You need spirituality. Then the person can grow. Thorn holds all of the water. Next comes the knowledge for man of how to establish himself in his environment. But if you don't establish first some moral identity, some human content, then what you will build will be a thorn. And a thorn doesn't even share its life structure. And it's not nice to touch. You have to be careful around it. You can get stuck and picked by it. And it's so selfish. It hoards up all the water. It goes where there is nothing and eats up everything from around it, right? So you don't find those trees growing where there's not a lot of abundance of water. They go where there is hardly no water, and that's where you find thorn bush growing. There is hardly no water. So its nature is not to hoard the water. It takes it in and hoards it. It has thorns that take it from the air. It draws all the moisture out of the dry air, the roots trying to get it from below. Now, and if you come to try and get the water, it has hoarded it. And there, and it has thorns, it has those thorns ready to stick you. But if the human grows properly, he comes into this structure kind of life, having the roots firm in the earth, the stem is anchored, there is strongly anchoring in the ground, and then the branches can come on, because there is strength now below. So this anchored structure can support branches. The branches grow on it, and lastly, the flower. Second part, branches come on, and they provide resting place and shade for other creatures. It is doing a service, isn't it? Providing shade for other creatures, and a resting for creatures that fly in the air. It won't fall off. Rests on the limb. Fourth flower, lastly, the flower comes, and the fourth part. One root, two trunk, three branch, beauty. Even ugly flowers allow reproduction. Surely Allah speaks the truth. I'm your host for this evening, Elihu Bey. We will continue this next Wednesday and Thursday at 7 p.m. Inshallah, it only means if it please God. We thank New Africa Enterprise LLC, Imam Dr. Murad Speaks, for allowing us to come before you once again. And we thank you, our honorable listening audience. May God guide us and have mercy on us and bless us with the light of understanding. As I greet you in the Arabic language, Assalamu alaikum, peace be unto you, and thank you for listening.